Good morning, everybody. This is what I call random Sunday, okay? And it's a random Sunday because every once in a while God does this. Ron's got to be off somewhere. He's in the middle of a series. And so we end up with a random Sunday, a Sunday that we need to put something good into it. And a couple weeks ago, you had the Felmies here. I always get their name turned around because it's F-E-L-M. Instead of F-E-M-L, I want to say families, and it's Felmies. But this week you get me. I have some updates I want to do, and if you're not a member here or you don't come regularly, some of this will make no sense to you. But hopefully I'll explain enough as we go along. Because it's Random Sunday, I was praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you want to do with this? It's always a good idea to give it over to him. What do you think? Yeah, okay, so we'll do that. And he said, well, you have to make sure that you mention the important stuff. Shoeboxes, trees, okay? No, wasn't? Okay, that's not the important stuff. Make sure you mention the important stuff. Ron's traveling up north, and they're doing a wedding for Bo Gardner. And Andrew's along with them, and then we have the other Andrew and his wife coming back from their week's vacation cruise. Is that important stuff? Is that okay? Okay. So I want you to know what's going on there. Here's a really neat thing you should know that I haven't got a chance to tell anybody yet. So do you remember a couple of weeks ago I came in front of you and said, I have some bad news. God's doing stuff with stuff that we normally have. And we had a number of things stolen from the sanctuary here. We had a computer stolen, and actually we had more stuff stolen than we realized had been stolen. Some mics and et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to tell you that all came back. So, you know, we prayed for the person who needed to use it, and God used it in their lives. God... He's got a strange way of blessing things. He really does. So it was so neat to watch the process of God working his way. And I was thinking to myself, you know, God, nobody's ever really succeeded in stealing anything from here. You know, they might take it for a little while, but it never goes anywhere. I even got a call. Remember our van that disappeared over town out of the parking lot? I don't know that we'll ever actually bring it back here, but I got a call from the Mexican embassy. They found it. You know, it's hard to steal stuff from a church. You got to dodge lightning bolts. You know, so it's kind of fun. I love stuff like that. It makes me happy. So, again, I'm just trying to hit the important points, like first Green Bay game today. So, you know. I'm sorry, I can't resist it. I was asking God what I should talk about this morning, and I was asking all week long, and people kept coming in and having little inputs into life, and I'd keep opening scripture every morning, and he finally made it clear to me that I was to talk about the body. Oh, by the way, if you have your phone sound turned off, you can turn it back on. It's fun to listen to your ringtones. So I almost forgot to turn mine off, and somebody said hello to us right there at that point in time. But I was asking God, what should I talk about? And he says, I want you to talk about my body. Okay, Lord, what does my body mean? Now, I got to show you something really cool. Let me show you this. See this little box here? My daughter Jen and I just drove cross-country through Virginia, and up from Virginia, and then we kind of went up through Kentucky and Indiana and Missouri and Kansas, etc. And on the way, we ran across an old Islander. And he is pretty old now. Dear friend of mine, Rick Foss, he's a Lutheran pastor, and he was up there, and we knew they had a house on the way, and so we called, and they said, well, come on over, we've got spare rooms, and etc. And I go in there, and this is just amazing. They've moved from Little Catalina House. They used to live in the house that we live in. They're the family that kind of bought us here. Their parents kind of bought us here to the island originally. But Rick's, you know, they were great hosts. We had a great time. And Rick says, you want me to show you my airplane? I'm like, your airplane? And so I go, and in his garage, there's an aluminum frame for an airplane hanging in there. I'm like, okay, that's, what are you doing? I'm building an airplane. He says, come on down to my basement. You can see the rest of it. Now, any NCIS fans here? I always wondered, how the heck did he build the boat down there and get it out? I don't know how Rick's going to build this airplane, but I go downstairs, and there's pieces to this airplane. But he's also got this amazing workshop. And he says, here, Scott, I want you and Ron to have one of these. And so I open it up, and this is what you call a traveling communion package. Pretty cool. Got little cups in there. Got a little container for wine, which we only use Manischewitz in the Lutheran Church, by the way. So we're not going to have any of this grape juice stuff. But in it is a little container that has the body. And it was really interesting because I had some of these spare ones sitting there, and my grandson looks at it. I had some extra, an extra little packet of these, and he says, hey, Papa, these little things have crosses on them. I'm like, then it gave me a little bit of a chance to talk about, you know, that aspect of the body. You know, once a month we gather and we follow the lead, and we think about Christ's body in that respect, don't we? And we think about Christ's body on the cross. We think about that a lot. And we think about his body ascending into heaven. We think about that. And we think about him sitting at the right hand of God. If we're really thinking, we think about standing before that body one day, as laid out in Revelation. But how often do you think about his body here on earth still? Because you know it's here on earth still? His body's still here on earth. You get to use that book, okay? It's called the Bible, not the hymnal, because we didn't have any hymn this morning. But would you pull out your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians? Now, the interesting part of this is I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I'd like to do this just to make it more confusing, because I figure most of you have 1 Corinthians 12 memorized, and so it's probably not needed. You got it all memorized? Nobody's looking like they have it memorized. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Janaea does that back there. You got it memorized? You got that look on your face that you really do. I love Paul, and I love listening to what Paul has to say in various places in Scripture. But I love 1 Corinthians 12. I always have. And if you get to 1 Corinthians 12, and you just overview it. So I'm just going to have you overview. We're going to concentrate on one verse later. But I just want you to kind of overview and look at it. I just came out of an Evelyn Wood reading dynamics course, which is kind of fun. And one of the things they say is before you start reading anything, you have to overview how the pages are set up and how the layout of it is and et cetera. That's before you even start reading a book. And then when you're going into specific chapters, it's good to get an overview of what you're at. So I want you to overview here, and the scriptures are really helpful in that they take these and they give you little headings. And so probably under 1 Corinthians 12, it says what? Spiritual gifts. And so this is the classic discussion, one of three different places that people point to that talks about the different spiritual gifts that are given to us. And there's debate over spiritual gifts. Is this a gift? Is that not a gift? So the gifts, you know, given for a particular time and at a particular age, and was this meant to be referred to as a gift? And quite frankly, I don't care for this discussion, okay? The fact of the matter is, y'all got a gift, okay? If you know the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ, you got a gift. You agree? You have a gift? Yeah? Because he's faithful and he gives them to us. And he gives them to us as he wants to. But then he goes down there and he starts talking about the body. He says, the human body is many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And then he goes on with the discussion. Some of us are Jews, some Gentiles, some slaves, some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we share the same Spirit. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? You are part of Christ's body. Okay? Not the one that's represented in this little box here. Not the one that was hanging on the cross in that sense. Not the one that ascended into heaven. But the one that he said, I'm going to leave behind here on the earth because I got work to do still down there on the earth. And he says, he continues on in there, and he says, there's many different parts. Now, I got thinking about bodies, okay? And so this is a fun part. I was actually hoping the kids were sitting here this morning, and they weren't, so it made me sad, and I wasn't going to do this, but I just can't resist this morning. I'll try and get us out of here in time for breakfast. Now, are there any artists among you? Are there any artists here this morning? Here was my challenge that I threw out to myself. Can I draw a representation of a body in 1 minute or less? Okay? I threw that challenge out to myself. Anybody want to try? Now, you know, I mean, you can do it. Well, okay, I got to show you my first attempt. You ready? It's kind of scary. And I realize that in this scripture, if I'm doing a representation of this scripture, he never said that it was a human body. Okay? Because I figure this has got to be some kind of strange alien body, because that's about the best that I could do in 1 minute. It's kind of scary, but, you know, I didn't add. You don't even have ears. You're no fun. Yeah. Give him a little chin in there, a mustache, fill him in. So that was the best I could come up with. Okay, I'm not a very good bodybuilder in that respect, but I wanted us to think about the body that Christ left behind, and that's you guys. Now, let's say we're going to start here. All right, Carol Ann. Choose a body part. You can't be. That's Christ. Sorry, you can't take the head. An arm. Okay. An arm. Let's see, we'll put a little elbow extension there. There you go. That's the best arm that we can possibly get. Okay, Wayne, choose a body part.
Foot.
A foot. Wow, look at him down here. Does this include toes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll just go here and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There, that's the best you get out of me. Okay. All right. Person who I don't know the name of, choose a body part. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris. Wonderful. Choose a body part for me.
The heart.
The heart.
Does that count?
Yes. Definitely counts. It's an internal organ. We don't see it. That's the best you get out of me. I tell you, this is not my artsy day, okay? All right. Give me a good one. Ooh, yeah, okay, I got one of those. All right. We'll just go for the general part here. Okay, it's shaping up a little bit, don't you see? There's a human in there somewhere. Charity, you got one? The knee. Ooh. All right. We'll just put a little knee right here. All right. Here we go. I'd never said it was good. You want art classes? You're going to have to go somewhere else. Mike?
Neck.
Okay. That's pretty good. We'll go with the neck coming up here. So we're slowly shaping up something that looks like an alien body from another place, but we're shaping up a body, right? Now, how well will this body function that I have drawn today? Setting aside the art part of it. It won't work very well. Unless I sit here and I go around the room and I find all the other parts of the body. Can the body function without a part? If I lost a leg today, okay, had an accident or something, lost a leg, can my body function? Yeah. Does it function well? No. Okay.
We are really good at when body parts are missing or lost. By the way, anybody lost any body parts? I have. They took my gallbladder and my appendix so far, so they may get along to some other things. You know what I mean? So unlike our soldiers, who many are learning to live without parts and learning to compensate and in amazing ways, we are blessed. Because of them, we're sitting here with most of our body parts. Okay. It is hard to function without all the parts of the body working together. And so it is with Christ's body. Trying to function without all the parts of the body working together is not good. Now, let's say you do get all the parts together. Let's say they're all gathered and they're all in one place and you got all the parts working together, okay? Does that make it work? What direction do, where do the body parts get their direction from? From Carol Ann's excellent answer, which was the head, which you came up with the answer way too soon, but that's okay. We'll let you go. Now, he may use you as his eyes, or he may use you as his nose, or he may use you as his mouth, or even ears if you decide to give him some. But the brains of the operation, his name is Jesus Christ. And he's talking to you through the Holy Spirit. And so if we're listening to him, something will happen. I'm excited about some movements that are happening right now because there's, I just got word on this a little bit. There's a call out from the Catholic Church right now to come and gather together and pray. I'm like, what a great idea. So they're asking the leaders from the church to come together and pray along with the leaders in the Catholic Church from Singing Waters and Avalon Community Church. What a great, great thing to hear happening. See, because Christ is doing something with his body. Now, it's not all necessary that we sit in the same building at the same time with the same thing, but it is important that we all work together. My wife is getting ready to go visit our church extension in Haiti, because we have one there. My daughter Jen just came from her church extension in Virginia Beach. Yeah, Donna is up in Oregon, and she's at our church extension up in Seaside, Oregon. See, God put his church all over the place, and we're all connected together. Do you believe that? You're visiting us, aren't you? Yeah. Where's the other part of our church located with you? Palm Desert? Marvelous. And what's the name of the building you gather in? Cornerstone. That's a great name. We have a teen center. I bared that name for years. Well, I won't let you suffer through this guy anymore. It was kind of scary. John's like, this morning, he's like, what's that pad for up there? Don't worry. Something will happen. John's never sure what I'm going to come up with. I want to show you a little video before I continue talking about the body, and I'm still doing all right time-wise. Have a good laugh. Count the puns.
What are you doing? You ever feel like something's missing?
What?
Like you're incomplete. I mean, what kind of life is this?
Do we have to go through this again? Our life is fine. Believe me, if you'd seen half the things that I've seen out there, you'd be happy with the way things are.
Why do you always have to say things like that? You're so negative. I hear things, you know. And I heard there's more than this.
Oh, yeah? Who'd you hear that from?
People.
Hand. Did Hand feed you that line?
So? What if she did?
You shouldn't listen to Hand. We don't need her.
How can you say that?
Hey, guys! We got mail! Look! We got mail! Look at this! We got mail! Whoa!
Saw that coming. What is this?
You may die of bad puns.
What's it say?
There's a party.
A party?
Oh, can we go? Can we go? I'll take us. I'm fast.
Who's invited?
It says here everyone is welcome.
That sounds great.
You hear that? Music, laughter, conversation. This can be fun.
We'll see about that.
Let me introduce you to Ryan.
A little more. Hold still.
Here, let me give you a hand.
Thank you.
Me too.
What? All right. I was wrong. We do need hand.
Pretty good party, huh?
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
Can I have your attention, please? I'd like to get the whole body together for a group picture.
All right, everybody, here we go.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. I don't care whether you've been a believer in Christ for one day or you've been a believer in Christ for 50 years. It doesn't matter. You are part of the body, and you belong with other parts of the body. And out there, there are people that know the Lord Jesus Christ that have forgotten that. So I'm talking to you here this morning because you're here this morning and you know that. But part of what we need to do, besides going out and sharing the love of Christ with others and bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, is we need to go out and encourage the body. Encourage the body to join together. Encourage the body to be in fellowship. Encourage the body to build each other up. Agreed? Amen. Well, I have another random thought for you. You haven't got away yet. That was actually all the precursor. Oh boy, I'm going to run through this fast. This is fun. Your homework is to read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Okay? Next week, have it memorized. Okay? So I'll work on that. But what I really wanted to look at was Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So you can turn there, although most of this will be up on the screen. So I want to start in verse 11. This is where I want to start, is in verse 11. And so I will. Ephesians 4:11 says, "So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, and he did it to me again." Paul does this to me all the time. Is he keeps sticking these words in. Therefore, because of this, so. And it makes me crazy. Because then it makes me want to go back and read, what does the so mean? What does the therefore refer to? But my point I want to make is down here, but he likes to make me go back there. So we got to go back there. I'm sorry. You got to read at least the whole chapter of Ephesians 4. Let's take what's before it. Therefore I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, this is verse 1, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I have a knee that's really irritating, okay? And sometimes I just wish I could chop the dumb thing off, okay? Because it is a real pain sometimes, and it slows me down, and I feel like I could do a lot better without the stupid knee. But the reality is, if I get rid of the knee, what do I lose with it? Some legs and toes and toenails and a few things that go down with it. And it's still serving its function, may not be doing it as well as it should. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Think on those words for a minute. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to the people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And that is Ephesians 1 through 10. Concentrate with me there. Back up just a little bit and read these words. When he ascended on high, he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. Okay, what did he take captive to heaven? Anybody know? What did he take captive to heaven? Did he wind people up and put them in ropes and haul them off with a dragon behind him as he ascends into heaven? No. What did he put in chains? What did he defeat? What did he conquer? Sin, death, the devil. Those are the captives that he took with him, okay? And where will they be cast in judgment day? Okay? Are they in control of you? No. They can try and influence you still, but they are not in control of you because Christ has taken those. And then it says he gave gifts to his people. Now, I want to pick it up in 12 because this is an interesting thought. And I had it while I was reading this, and then I did some exploration, discovered I wasn't the only one that had this thought. The classic as we go on from here into verse 11 is that this is a reaffirming of the gifts that were given back in Ephesians, that they're reaffirming the gifts of apostleship and the gift of, the gifts of evangelism, etc. But these seem to be offices. Wondering, in this particular scripture, is Paul, when he speaks here and he says he gave gifts to his people, is he trying to tell the body? Is he trying to tell the body that the gifts that he left for his people? Was an evangelist? Was a teacher? Certainly wasn't a pastor. Okay. If you hold those offices, were you given as a gift to the people? I think so. I think that's what he's trying to say here. Let's read it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ might be built up. Why did you get pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets? Why do they exist? Come on. To what? Prepare. Okay? So when you come in here and you sit and you listen to the Felmies, who are obviously evangelists, they're servant evangelists, or you come in here and, you know, listen to me, which they gave me a title of pastor, but I kind of like teacher better. When you come in here and you listen to those things, I'm standing up here for a purpose, and these people are in your life. If a prophet speaks into your life, there is a reason why God has chosen in his body to take people. Now, who's in charge? Let's run over that again. What part of the body is in charge? The head. Christ is in charge, okay? When we start thinking one of these other people is in charge, that's when we get into trouble, okay? Or that somehow they're super special, or they're going to, you know, they have knowledge and wisdom beyond whatever I could hope for. No, he can decide to make you one of those and give you one of those offices any moment he chooses to, because he gives gifts as your ability allows. Yes? No. He gives gifts as you choose. No. He gives gifts as he chooses. So what if you're wandering along in your life and all of a sudden he calls to you and he says, you know, you've had a great time in the body and I have really appreciated you cooperating with me in the gift that I gave you of service, and now I would like you to become a teacher. And you go, oh, I can't teach. What if he says, but you're doing it anyhow? Mm-hmm. My wife is a classic case, okay, and I can point to my family really well. If we were sitting discussing as she's getting ready to leave for this trip, which we're going to pray for her at the end of the day, if you had told her 5 years ago that he was going to pull her out of the ministry of intercession and put her into what she's doing now, she would have looked at you like you lost your mind. Because she's not equipped for it, she's not prepared for it, and her heart really wasn't for it. Now, if I tried to pull her back out of it, I'd be in big trouble. Okay? That's just the fact of the matter. Christ calls us to different things. See, God equips his people for works of service so the body of Christ might be built up. He has reasons for it. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we'll no longer be like infants. Paul likes to refer to us sometimes as infants, just taking in milk, not being able to chew on meat. Paul refers to it in that way to let us know, you got some growing up to do. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Well, yeah, those parts of the body you can't see very well. Would you get along well without your muscles or ligaments today? No, you'd be a puddle. Every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up. Grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When you read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, 13 is known as what chapter? Does anybody know? The love chapter. And we love to use it for romantic times and quote it to the one we dearly love. But you know who it was written to? It was written to the body about how we are supposed to love each other. See, because God's tool is that we should live the body life. That we... No one hates their own body, okay? Oh, I may not like my belly. Sometimes I wonder why God endowed me with such a great belly, you know? And there may be parts of me where I look and go, why do I look like that? I don't hate me. Do you hate me? Do you hate you? I don't think so. We were built to love. We were built to love ourselves. We're built to love each other. Why? Because whose image are we made in? God's. So when you have, not that this ever happens, but when you have trouble with someone else in the body, the best thing to do is to stay away from them, right? I don't think so. You know what the best thing to do with them? Best thing to do with them is the same thing we did with the thief, the one who took all the stuff here from the church. What's the best thing to do for them? Pray for them. Pray in love that God would give you a heart of love, that God would draw you together. Nothing hurts me more, and I really sincerely mean this, then when someone comes to me, and they do it with a good heart, and it's happened to me way too many times, and I hear, well, I'd come to church, but so-and-so goes to your church. Or, I'd come to church, but last time I was there, so-and-so, or the so-and-so may be unnamed, did this or did that to me. That hurts me. That hurts me as a pastor, as someone who cares about the church. If we know, I mean, out in the world, it's one thing. Outside of these walls, it's one thing. But if we know we have broken relationships with people in the church, and we have malfunctions happening, and they belong to Christ, and they're part of the one body, and we don't go out of our way to love on them, and the starting point on loving on anyone is praying for them, then we are failing in our calling as the body. Agree, church? Yes? Okay. So your assignment, along with reading 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, is when you get done with 13, you sit down and you say this, Lord Jesus, show me someone in the church I need to pray for today. Because we have broken relationship. Show me someone I need to pray for. And keep me praying for them. Can you do that for me? Can you do that? It's not a hard thing to ask that of God. It can be a hard thing. But I want you to recognize that the body together is much more powerful than any one part. Okay? A little exercise for you. Grab a hymnal, unless you physically can't do this for some reason. I want you to take your hand, okay? And I want you to set the hymnal like that, okay? Now, remove your little finger, fold it over into your hand. Okay, ready? Okay, now, remove your thumb. You see, we need every part. We need every part. Okay, here's the truth. If I don't speak truth to the church, then I might as well hang this up and quit doing it. This verse, Ron has been preaching for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Where are we? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I can throw a picnic, I'll have 30 people. I can throw a potluck, I'll have 30, 40 people. I can throw a going away party, I'll have 50 people. Seemed like you get rid of people. You know what happens when I call for people to come and pray? If we really want to heal our land, if we really want to change things, and we as a church need to start coming together, and there should be a passion inside of the heart of each one of us to pray. Oh, I'm convicted of this myself, so don't think I'm up here doing any holier-than-thou thing, because I ain't, okay? And an opportunity to come together, devoted to prayer, together with the body, should make us rearrange the rest of our schedule so that we can do that. An opportunity to pray for the healing of a land that is broken and breaking more each day should drive us. And I don't know, maybe you feel it's good enough to sit in your home and pray at a particular time. But I'm telling you, there is a dynamic that happens when the body comes together. And where we are lacking, and I take this body-wise, but I especially point at this building, Avalon Community Church, is we are lacking in praying together. And so I'm going to make it my purple passion this fall to call people to prayer. Okay? I got a lot of things on my plate this fall that I think God is calling to, but there's two chief things that he's given me, and that's one of those things. And I just urge you that when you know that you're being called for prayer and that that time of prayer interferes with your dinner, skip dinner. I'll be really honest with you. God has purposes for his people together. And if we never come together, if we sit separately and we don't live in the body life, well, I've got a sore knee. I don't work as well as I used to. We just will never work as well as we should. Can we agree with that?
Yep.
Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the people that sit here this morning. I never know quite on these random Sundays what message you're going to have. I faithfully delivered it. I'm thankful, Lord, for the faithful people who serve you and love you. But Lord, drive us all to our knees. May we humble ourselves. May we understand what it means to humble ourselves. To know ourselves for who we really are. May we humble ourselves and pray. And let us pray for our land, because our land is the people around us. It is a world that needs Christ. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to do it with a passion and a heart together for you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.